Welcome to another deep dive. You know how much we all appreciate beauty, right? I mean, artists, poets, even scientists, they're all kind of drawn to it.
Yeah, it really does seem to transcend disciplines.
It does. And that's exactly what we're going to explore today, the intersection of art and science.
Very cool.
We've got two really fascinating sources for this deep dive, a research project that's changing the way we visualize proteins, and an art exhibition titled Virus Meets Human.
Sounds intriguing.
Okay, so let's jump right in. You know that phrase, form follows function?
Oh, yeah. I always think of architecture when I hear that.
Right. It's classic design principle from the Bauhaus movement. But our expert actually got me thinking about it in a whole new way, applying it to nature and science, especially when it comes to things like viruses.
That's interesting.
So think about it. Viruses, they're like tiny little machines, right? And they're built for one very specific purpose.
To infect cells and replicate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So their structure, their form, is perfectly designed for that function. Every little detail, from their protein shell to the way their genetic material is packaged, it all contributes to their success.
It's like every part has a job to do, a very specific role to play in this whole intricate process.
It is. And it's not just about functionality. It's also about efficiency. These things are incredibly efficient at what they do.
That's true. Nature has had a long time to refine those designs through evolution.
Millions of years of optimization going on there.
Amazing.
Now, something else I wanted to touch on. I came across some quotes from scientists like Richard Feynman and Christian Nusslein Volhard.
Oh, I love Feynman.
Me too.
Yeah.
And they were talking about finding beauty in their scientific work, which isn't something we always associate with science.
Right. We often think of science as objective and analytical.
Exactly. But for a lot of scientists, that beauty lies in like the elegance of natural laws or the intricate patterns they uncover in data.
Like Feynman, he talked about seeing the beauty of a flower on a macro level, but also appreciating the complex beauty of the cellular processes happening within it.
Yeah. Or Nusslein Volhard. She was totally fascinated by the segmentation patterns in flies.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading about that.
And that fascination actually led her to some major breakthroughs in understanding the genes that control embryonic development.
Wow. So her appreciation for that visual pattern actually drove her scientific discoveries.
It did. It's like that aesthetic sense can be a guide, a starting point for deeper exploration.
That's a really cool way to think about it.
So we've talked about scientists finding beauty in their work, but what about scientific data itself? Can that be beautiful?
I'm not sure I've ever thought about it that way.
Well, this research project we're looking at, they actually took protein data and turned it into art.
No way. How did they do that?
They used geometric patterns and symmetry to create these visual representations.
Yeah.
And they're in the document. We're looking at figures 1 through 3.
I'm looking at them now. Wow, they're actually really cool, kind of abstract, but you can still see the structure of the protein.
Right. And they're using this concept called aesthetic information. It's the idea that beauty comes from the balance between order and disorder.
That's interesting. So by highlighting the order and patterns within the protein data, they make it visually appealing.
Exactly. It becomes more than just data. It's an experience.
That's really cool. I like that.
Okay. So we've seen how science can inspire art, but can art actually inspire scientific thinking?
I'm listening.
Well, the Virus Meets Human exhibition dives into that idea.
I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
There's a great quote on the materials that says, "These flower forms of alienated protein models, by transforming scientific data, encourage changes in perspective, an ability that is becoming increasingly important in research, alongside technical, social, and communicative skills."
Whoa, that's a mouthful. But I get it. They're saying that by looking at scientific data through an artistic lens, it can shift our perspective.
Right, and that shift can lead to new insights, new ways of approaching problems.
Art can shake things up, make us question our assumptions.
Exactly, and the Virus Meets Human exhibit takes this idea and runs with it. They use all these different methods to represent viruses, from traditional visuals to something called sonification.
Sonification, what's that?
They actually take protein data from viruses and turn it into sound using MIDI technology.
So they're like making viruses sing?
Pretty much. It's a way to experience scientific data with a whole new sense.
Wow, that's really creative.
And we're just scratching the surface here. There's so much more to explore in this exhibit, like the visual representations they use.
I'm looking at some of the images now. They're not just like basic diagrams, are they?
No, they use things like geometric shapes, polar coordinate systems, even images from the PDB database.
It's like a whole art gallery dedicated to viruses.
It is. And it's all about making these invisible entities visible and understandable.
I love that idea.
Earlier, we talked about how scientific models are lies that help you see the truth, right? Well, this exhibit embraces that idea. It shows us a whole range of models from simple to complex.
It's like they're showing us the evolution of how we think about viruses.
Exactly. And along the way, they're highlighting the role that art can play in shaping those models.
It's not just about collecting data. It's about finding new ways to represent it and make sense of it.
And that's where the collaboration between artists and scientists becomes so powerful.
Like with the Virus Meets Human exhibit, it's a true collaboration between Hike Seafarth, the artist, and Sebastian Springer, the scientist.
Yeah, they brought their unique perspectives together to create something really special.
It's a testament to what can happen when you bridge the gap between art and science.
And it makes me wonder what other areas of science could benefit from this kind of interdisciplinary approach.
I think the possibilities are endless.
I agree. But we've covered a lot of ground already.
We have. It's a lot to take in.
Oh, it is. So we're going to take a short break and then come back to dive deeper into the specific methods used in the Virus Meets Human exhibit. Stay tuned.
Can't wait. Welcome back. We've been talking about this amazing exhibit, Virus Meets Human, and I really want to dig into some of the specific ways they're representing viruses.
Me too. Especially that sonification thing you mentioned earlier. I mean, turning viruses into music, that's just blowing my mind.
I know, right? It's so creative. So basically, they're taking protein data, which is just a sequence of letters representing amino acids.
Right, like a code.
Exactly. And they're converting that code into sound using MIDI technology.
Okay, so how does that actually work?
Well, each amino acid gets assigned a specific musical note or sound.
Oh, so different proteins would create different melodies.
You got it. It's like giving each virus its own little theme song based on its unique protein structure.
That is so cool. I bet some of them sound kind of creepy.
Oh, for sure. Some might be eerie. Others might be surprisingly beautiful. It really depends on the protein.
So it's not just about making pretty music. It's about actually hearing the data.
Exactly. It engages a whole different sense. It makes the science more tangible, more real.
I love that. And I'm also really intrigued by the visual representations they use in the exhibit.
Oh, yeah, they're amazing. I'm looking at some of the images now.
They're not your typical scientific diagrams.
Not at all. They've used all sorts of techniques. One that really stood out to me was a polar coordinate system.
Polar coordinates, yeah. From math class.
Yep. Imagine a circle with rings radiating outward from the center. They use this to plot the protein data with the distance from the center representing the height of the protein structure.
So it's like you're looking down at the virus from above, seeing all its peaks and valleys represented on this circular grid.
Precisely. It's a really cool way to visualize the three-dimensional structure of the virus on a flat surface.
And they use really simple geometric shapes too, right?
They do, like triangles, squares, circles, the basic building blocks. It's a way to break down the complexity and highlight the essential structure of the virus.
Like a visual shorthand.
Exactly. It makes it easier to grasp the underlying patterns and organization.
It's a great example of how art can make complex scientific information more accessible.
Right. It's not just about dumbing it down or anything. It's about finding new ways to represent and communicate the science.
And hopefully spark some curiosity along the way.
Definitely. You know, earlier we were talking about how scientific models are kind of like lies that help us see the truth.
Right, because they're always simplifications of reality.
Exactly. And this exhibit does a great job of showing us that they present a whole range of models, from very simple to very complex.
It's like they're taking us on a journey through the evolution of scientific thought.
I like that analogy. It's about showing how our understanding grows and changes over time.
And how art can play a role in that process.
Absolutely. Whether it's through visualization, sonifications, or any other artistic approach, it can help us grasp these complex concepts and see things in new ways.
It's all about opening up new avenues for exploration.
And you know what else is really important? Collaboration.
Oh, yeah. We can't forget about that. This whole exhibit is a testament to the power of collaboration between artists and scientists.
Right. Hike Seafarth and Sebastian Springer, they really came together to create something special.
It's like a perfect example of what can be achieved when you break down those traditional barriers between disciplines.
And you know, that kind of interdisciplinary approach, it has implications far beyond just art and science.
I think so, too. It makes me think about how we approach problem solving in general.
Like, what if we brought together engineers and artists to design more sustainable cities?
Or doctors and musicians to develop new therapies that use sound and vibration?
The possibilities are endless. It's all about embracing a more holistic, integrated way of thinking.
I completely agree. And with that, I think it's time to shift gears and recap some of the key insights we've gleaned from this deep dive into the world of art and science.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. So we've spent this whole deep dive exploring where art and science meet and using that virus meets human exhibit and protein visualization research as our examples.
It's really fascinating stuff, right?
It is. One of the big takeaways for me is like how much beauty we overlook in scientific data.
Yeah, I never really thought about data as being beautiful before, but after seeing those visualizations...
Right, they're like works of art.
They are. All those intricate patterns, the colors, it really highlights the beauty of the microscopic world.
And it's more than just being pretty. It can actually lead to new scientific insights, like Christiane Nusslein-Volhard.
Oh, yeah, with her fascination with those fly segmentation patterns.
Exactly. That aesthetic sense sparked her curiosity and led to those discoveries about genetics.
It's a great example of how beauty can guide scientific inquiry.
It can. And the Virus Meets Human exhibit shows us how art can make those explorations more accessible to everyone, like with those sonifications.
Oh, yeah, when they turn protein data into sound.
It's incredible. Suddenly, these invisible things have a voice.
It makes the science come alive.
It does. It's like a symphony of the microscopic world.
And the visual representations, too, those geometric shapes and patterns, it's like they've translated science into a universal language.
It's a language everyone can understand and appreciate.
Exactly. And remember that quote about how those artistic representations encourage changes in perspective?
Yeah, it highlights how art can challenge our assumptions and push us to see things differently.
It makes us question what we thought we knew.
And that can be really powerful for scientific progress.
It can lead to those breakthrough moments.
Absolutely. And all of this brings us back to the importance of collaboration.
Right. The Virus Meets Human exhibit wouldn't exist without that partnership between artist and scientist.
Heike Seefarth and Sebastian Springer, they came together and created something truly unique.
It's proof that the most interesting discoveries often happen when you break down those barriers between disciplines.
When different perspectives come together.
Exactly. And that brings us to a final thought for you all. If scientific data can become art, what other unexpected ways can we use to understand the world?
It's a great question to ponder what other possibilities are out there. What happens when we blur the lines between different fields of knowledge? It's something to think about as we continue to explore and question and push the boundaries of what's possible. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.